Thank you, Becca. Wow, what a great message, and what a great message for us to think about today. And that literally is what I want us to talk about. It's amazing how we talk about praise, unbroken praise. And is unbroken praise just simply that we praise and we praise and we praise and we praise? Or is unbroken praise literally what you were singing, that what we say and what we sing then is carried out in actions? And so unbroken praise means that we act out what we say. What are you saying today? What are you singing today? What's your heart song? Are you living it out? What are your deeds today? Are they true to your words? It's a great joy to be with you today. It's Labor Day weekend, right? Is that right? Labor Day weekend. I've always thought about that. Why do you take off on Labor Day? I need to work on that a little bit. But you know, I tell you, one of the fun things for us is take a break and to be able to say it's a weekend where we can take an extra day if we're working or whatever. But you know, it's a fun time in our life as we begin to journey through life. And so it's great for Peggy and I to be with you today. And thank you for what you do and your commitment to cooperative program and working, not just as this church, but the churches around this state, which there are 1,565. And you're a part of that, and a very important part of that, and the churches around this nation, which are almost 50,000. And so what a joy it is for us to come together and say we can do more by ourselves than we can. Let me say that different. We can do more together than we can by ourselves, right? How would you like to pay for that 18-wheeler that pulled out from our mission center? How would you like to pay for the maintenance on the building where we keep that equipment? How would you like to do that as a church? Well, I need to tell you something. No individual and no church could probably pay the bills for all the things that we do with disaster relief. But together, we are able to do it, and we're able to be on service. And we do big things together in the sense that God is at work in a mighty way. And it's not just human things. But without the human efforts, as we reach out to people in need, we can't really share the gospel with integrity. And so this week we have 4 units that have gone down. This week we trained 100 people. And Wednesday it was interesting in our building. There are 100 people from all over that came in, and there was old and young, and there was big and small, and there was all different kinds of colors of skin. And it was just an amazing group of people that came in to train so they can go and work in Houston. And so Houston's a big world. Texas is a big world. They don't need us, right? Well, we sense that today is a very devastating world for people that are out of their homes, people that don't know what's next. And so we have an opportunity to impact that. And so this 18-wheeler that made its way down there, this feeding unit, will feed 3,500 people in one day's time. Isn't that amazing? And is now going to be parked at one of the largest centers in which people are staying, one of the shelters. And Arkansas Baptist is going to be all over that truck. But more than that, it's about Jesus, right? Hello, is anybody out there? It's about Jesus. And so what a joy. I was in the driveway yesterday with Randy Garrett, who is our DR leader. And Randy, as we were looking, we talked about just what was happening. He said, David, this is Katrina to the third times. In other words, what happened in Katrina, this is 3 times multiplied bigger than anything that happened in Katrina. Do you realize we're still, Arkansas Baptist, working in New Orleans dealing with Katrina issues? And so how long will we be working in Houston dealing with the issues there? Oh my, the needs are great. And here's the deal, Second Baptist Church in Russellville, you are right in the middle of it. And you are helping pay the bills. And we don't have to take an offering today so much as we want your gifts. But more important, you've already given. And so thank you for your gifts. And we're opening the door for others that would want to give. And we're just thankful that we can be a part of it. And we are excited that God is at work in a mighty way. And so it's a joy to be able to come and share with you today some of the fun things that are going on because of what you do. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about a little passage of scripture in Colossians, the 2nd chapter. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians, the 2nd chapter. Now, we may read more than this particular verse, but I want us to look at this verse, Colossians 2. And as you look in Colossians 2, scroll down to verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6, and I want to read through verse 10. But I want us to think just for a moment about verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. And Becca, that's it. That's what you were singing about. The issue here is that as we receive Jesus, then we need to walk in the same way. Well, how did you receive Jesus? Well, Colossians is a great book, and it tells us all about how we can know Jesus. And it talks about, as Paul is writing this book, and he's writing a book, and he's writing it to a young man who was pastor at Colossae, and his name was Epaphras. And Epaphras was one who probably came to Christ when Paul was a missionary in Ephesus. And so as he was this missionary, he led this young person to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so it's pretty interesting because this young man then went out to Colossae and started a church, and it was probably a house church. So we're not talking about a big church. We're talking about just simply an arrangement where people would come in, maybe family, maybe friends, and it began to grow, but it was called the church at Colossae. And so here in this setting, we see some interesting things. And Paul, in writing this letter, he's speaking about how they can receive Christ. And so the very first chapter, he talks about some things that are really powerful. He says, I've seen your faith, I've seen your love, and I've seen your hope. And so he begins by telling the people at Colossae, I have heard about you. Now, Paul had never been to this church, but one had gone out. Did you know that you have sent out a lot of people that have gone out to places that you have never been? And it's important for us to send people out as the church of Jesus Christ. Well, here was a young man that was sent out, and Paul had never been there. But here was Epaphras coming to him saying, I need your help. I want you to know what's going on. This is a great church. There's a lot of faith. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of love. But there's also a real problem in the community. And the problem in the community was what we would call the Colossian heresy. It was an issue of truth that was a half-truth. People were saying that Jesus is Jesus, but he's not the biggest part of this salvation experience, that there's more than Jesus, that there is knowledge that's beyond the knowledge that you've received. And so this young man was coming to Paul saying, people are not accepting Jesus as salvation, and they're trying to make it more than what he says that it is and what they learned. And so here in this setting, Paul is writing the letter of Colossians, and he's saying, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord. And we find in chapter 1 about Jesus, who he is, that he's the firstborn. We find that he brings redemption. We find that he is the one that brings forgiveness. And so here in this first chapter, we find that there is salvation, and salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this first verse, verse 6, it simply says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now let's think about that just for a moment. Because you see, the issue is that what we think is many times the way we act out our lives. And if we think right, we have the potential to act right. If we're not thinking right, then our actions can go astray. And so the message today is that we need to have the kind of thinking that is true to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we need to act out in a way that is pleasing to him. And so we walk in him. Now, the focus of the passage is really the last two words. As you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Now, the word walk means live out. I like to walk, and so I get outside and I walk. But you know, as I'm looking at the scripture and it says that we need to walk in him, it's not necessarily saying that I just need to get out every morning and take a walk. What it's saying is that as I journey in life, as I live out my life, I need to walk. And as I walk in him. Huh, isn't that interesting? And so we found that in Colossians 1, and those of you that were in Sunday school and you teach Sunday school or you're in Sunday school, you love the scripture and you love the Bible and you know what Colossians 1 talks about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we are to walk in him, but Christ is in us. And so here we have the Godhead in us, but then we are walking in him. And that's an amazing thing. Because Christ came as God in flesh, and he walked in the midst of this world, and so we can walk with him, but we also have to walk in him. And in him means that we are yielding ourselves and moving into his presence, and we are following him, and we're living our life based on an understanding of him as Jesus Christ as Lord. And so what we believe about Jesus determines the way we act. Well, let's think about this just for a moment. When I was in college, my campus minister, you knew that BCM would come out somewhere, Al Ray. It just has to. By the way, Al Ray, I don't know when I came to Arkansas either, but it was a long time ago, okay? And it was fun. Al Ray's one of my favorite people, and I love him because he loves you, he loves the church, and he loves college students. And so that's exciting. And so I'm thankful for you, thankful for your family, and it's just fun to be able to watch things happen. Tuesday night, I was at the BCM in Russellville. Now, some of you would say, how can you be at the BCM in Russellville because there's no building? Well, BCM's not a building. It's just like the church. The church is not a building, but BCM is an organization. It's a ministry. And so it was fun to be there and see students. I got to sit by a young man from Nepal, and it was fun to see what God's doing, how the Lord is using Brad Branham, and thank you for your support of him. But it was interesting while I was there, I was reminded again of just the joy of what's happening. This year already, massively across our state, we've seen tremendous influence of our ministry, your ministry, working on the college campus, and right here is one of those, and Brad's doing a great job. But when I was in college, that was a few years ago. When I was in college, I came to my campus minister one day, and I said, hey, I've been thinking about this, and Jerry, here's the deal. Jesus died on the cross. Well, God can't die. How in the world did Jesus die on the cross? How did he die, and how do you explain that? Because God can't die, can he? And my campus minister looked at me, and he did something profound. He looked at me, and he said, well, he did. And so I walked out of that room, not with an answer, but I walked out of that room with a conviction that the Lord Jesus died. And so it wasn't for me to figure out around my theology, my thinking that, hey, God can't die. It was for me to figure out that God did die, and he died on the cross, and his name was Jesus. And how did that happen? And how can God die? And so instead of trying to build my theology around my thinking, I begin to try to look to the Father and say, what are you trying to say? How did you die? And one of the great truths of my life has been very simple, because it was in that experience that I began to work out some things. I had family members that passed away. I spent a lot of time in the hospital room, emergency room, and I saw people die. And I thought a lot about death. And one of the things that I came to grips with at that meeting is that death is not the end. Can God die? Yes, because that doesn't mean God ceases to exist. It means that he went into the grave for 3 days and three nights, and then he came out of that grave and he arose, and he's the risen Savior, and God, in the form of Jesus Christ on that cross, died for you and for me. Wow. And so it's not really what I think about it. It's what does God want to reveal to me about truth. Are you with me? And so the issue is not what I think. It's not my philosophy. It's not my thinking. It is His word, His truth. And how do I line up with His truth so that I can live my life in a way that's pleasing to Him? Well, let's look at this text, and I want to read a few more verses here because I think there's some things here that are significant for us. It's verse 6, therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now built up in Him, notice there it is again, that little word, those two little words, in Him, and established in your faith. And so now we have not just in Him, but in our faith. So connected to walking with Him and being in Him is our faith, and we are in our faith as we walk it out, just as you are instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Now the word instruction is important here, because there is a teaching involved. And the people at Colossae were taught how to become believers and taught how to live out their life. But notice what it says, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Are you thankful for what God has done in your life? You know, we are in Him. And I don't know about you, but I need to always remember that I need to be thankful that I am in Him. And so are you thankful today? It's Labor Day weekend. It's not Thanksgiving. But it's still time for us to talk about being thankful. Because I think one of the real problems with college students today is they don't know how to say thanks. And so where did that come from? Where did that come from? It's not that they don't appreciate things. They just don't know how to open their mouth and say thanks. And sometimes they really don't understand how to appreciate what they have. Where did that come from? Well, it may have come from my generation. It may have come from me and my world, where there was such an expectation that you deserve things, rather than saying, we really don't deserve as much as we have a lot of times. But we need to always be thankful for the things that we have. Well, that's just a sidebar, okay? That's not a part of the point. But I tell you, I cannot read this and I cannot think about what this text is saying without taking just a moment to say, we need to say, thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now think just for a moment about this. See that no one takes you captive. Now, church, one of the real problems in our world today is anybody who is persuasive can take a young life in college and can really empower them to think bad thoughts, to think philosophy that is not of God. Because it is amazing, these young minds that are there that want to grow and want to learn. And there's nothing wrong with philosophy. It's a neutral word. Paul was a philosopher. So when we say philosophy, we're not saying that philosophy is bad, because Christianity is a part of a philosophy. But it's more than a philosophy. It is a person, and his name is Jesus. And so we find out that what we're talking about here is not just simply what we think, but we're talking about something more important than that. It is not human reason, but it is divine revelation. And so when we're speaking about this message of how we are to be a people not taken captive by philosophy, it means that together we don't come up with truth, but we understand that truth was revealed, and it was revealed in Jesus Christ. And if we understand that, then we line ourselves up with Him, not what others are saying. It's not democracy. It's not who votes the best way. It is what does God say. And if the vote is 10 to 1 against Him, then we're going to join with the one, right? Because God's way, His revelation, is what we're speaking about. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men. Now, this word tradition of men is not necessarily a bad word either. It's like philosophy. Traditions are not bad. In our home, we have some traditions, and they're really fun. Some of them are really silly, by the way, and most of them were started by my wife. Notice I'm away from her. There's a back door, Al Ray. I made sure before I made that statement. But you know, it's those silly traditions that I begin to love and enjoy in our home. And we do some fun things in our house. But the message here is the tradition of men is sometimes we find ourselves moving into what we think is right. It is, again, humanity. It is humanism, and it's not revelation coming from God. And so the message here is, don't let anyone take you captive by traditions of men that are not from God, but they're from us. Now, let me say it this way, church. So many of you have lived in this church, worked in this church for a long time. And there are some traditions that we have here that maybe it's good and maybe it's not good. Maybe it was good for yesterday and it's not good for now. How do we grow and how do we change and how do we move forward in a world? Because as we look at the traditions of men, it's not revelation from God. It is us learning how to work with each other. And traditions of men sometimes can restrict us, can hurt us, and harm us. And that's what happened in the religious world of Jesus. Because they were religious people. It was the Essenes. It was the other religious groups that developed all of these traditions that were seemingly okay, but they were not from God. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Well, where'd that come from? Because there's some things we want to touch. There's some things we want to taste. There's some things we want to handle. And so when we simply make a law and we say, we can't do this, then maybe we need to understand that that law is built around the traditions of men and not the revelation of God. Church, are we willing to yield those things that are our way rather than His way? Traditions of men and the elementary principles of the world. Now, it's important here because we have men and the world. So we're talking about, don't let anyone take you captive. Don't let anyone of humanity take you captive. But don't let the world, don't let the way of the world, don't let the message of the world take you captive. The elementary principles of the world. And once again, it's not necessarily a bad word. It's a neutral word. Elementary principles, some would even say, well, that speaks about the sun and the stars. But most people would say that's not what it's talking about here. Most people would say this is more like the ABCs. There's some ABCs that help us be functional and organized in what we do. But sometimes our organization says, we've always done it this way. Huh. Well, if we would have always done it that way, you wouldn't be in this building right now. Did you know that? You'd be back in the old sanctuary. And I don't know about you, but I love this sanctuary. And I think it's pretty amazing that this church was willing to say, hey, let's release this, let's move over here, and let's do something good. Let's do something different. See that you not be taken captive by the way of the world and the way of men, but that you're taken captive according to Christ. That who owns us is Christ. And so it's so important that we are not to be taken captive by the world or by the men of the world, but we are to be taken captive by our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are slaves for him. Bond slaves is what Colossians 1 speaks about. What an amazing thing as we look at this passage. And so let's move forward. It's verse 9 and 10. For in him, there it is again. It's those two little words. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Now verse 10. And in him, you have been made complete. All right, I want us to focus on these two thoughts just for a moment. It's verse 9 and 10. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. How are we to walk in him? We know that we have received him. We've received the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we need to walk in him. And how are we to walk in him? Well, the Bible says in verse 9 that we are to walk in him in the fullness of deity that dwells in bodily form. Now, Paul is saying something very important here. He's saying for us, but he's saying for the people at Colossae, that God was in bodily form, and all the fullness of God was in this person, Jesus Christ. And so for us today, it's so important for us that if we're to be in him, then it's all about Jesus and nothing more. There is no more knowledge. There's no more wisdom. It is him and him alone. And verse 3 in Colossians 2 says that in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that amazing? And so here, the wisdom that we have, the knowledge that we have, it's all in the fullness of Jesus Christ. So how do we walk in him? We walk in him by knowing who he is, accepting who he is, and walking beside him every day. Knowing him. Let me read this passage one more time. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. John 1 tells us this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the Word became what? Say it with me. Flesh. And this Word that became flesh dwelt with us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. His name is Jesus. And so here it is. All the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. So how do we walk in him? How do we walk in him? We walk in him understanding the fullness of the deity is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we said. As you receive who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So what? Walk in him. And so here it's saying, in him is all of the fullness of the deity. All of God exists in Jesus Christ. Wow, what a tremendous message for us today. So if we're to walk in him, then it's Jesus and Jesus alone. But there's a second thing that the scripture says, and it's verse 10. Notice what it says. And in him, there's those two little words again. Isn't that powerful? So as you receive Jesus as Christ the Lord, so walk where? In him. And then it says, in him all the fullness of deity. But here in verse 10, it says, in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. Let's talk a little bit about being complete. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't think I'm complete. You ever felt that way? I used to have it all together, and then I seem to be losing ground. How about you? You know, every day I wake up and I think, you know, I used to could solve this a lot easier than I do now. You know, I don't know what that is, Al Ray. But I'm telling you, some days I think I'm kind of losing it, you know. But boy, in Christ, we're not losing anything. Isn't that amazing? And he wants to make us complete. Now, what does it mean to make us complete? The word complete is a message in which we need to understand. And it comes from Colossians 1 if we're really going to understand it. So I want you to just look back with me in Colossians 1. And as you look in Colossians 1, verse 28, look what the scripture says. We proclaim him. Who is him? Jesus. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. Whoa. So in chapter 2, we find the answer is in chapter 1. And I want to think about this verse 28 just for a moment. We proclaim him. We know that he is Christ the Lord. And we admonish every man and teach every man with all wisdom. And we do that so that we can present every man complete in Christ. Church, did you know it's our responsibility to help people mature in Christ? That's why I love Sunday school teachers. Because Sunday school teachers are here teaching on Sunday mornings. But listen, for it to be complete, it's got to move out of the Sunday school class. Where? Hang on. Are you with me? You got to get this. If you don't get this, then all this day's been wasted. I shouldn't have come today. If in the Sunday school class you get the message, then where does the completion of the message happen? As we are walking with him, living it out every day. Church, if the Word of God doesn't get out of your Sunday school class, it was never the Word of God. Because truth cannot sit, truth must get up and walk with Jesus. Can I say that again? Truth is action. When we talk about this truth and action, it's important for us to see that the Scripture teaches us that as we receive him, the truth, we walk in him. We live our life in him. It moves into your home. It moves into your workplace. It moves into the church as a whole. It moves sometimes to Houston. It may be that some of you in this room need to come to our building one day next week or the next week and be trained so that you can spend some time in Houston. There's a young man who's older than I am from Jonesboro who spent 4 years. He packed his family up, moved to New Orleans, and spent 4 years taking on teams, training those teams, sending them out. Did you know that Arkansas Baptist helped rebuild 250 homes in New Orleans? Where's that in the newspaper? Where was the news media when we were cranking it out, going down to Houston? We also have a group from Tri-County that's going to Victoria, Texas. Where's the media? Well, you know, it's not all about the media, but you know, the church needs to know what we're doing. And we need to know that whether the media notices it, or whether the world notices it, or whether man notices it, if God is in us and we are in him and we're walking with him, we're going to find ourselves in action somehow, some way. And it may be that some of you need to come be trained and be a part of disaster relief. It might be that some of you need to teach Sunday school class. That's action too. It might be that some of you need to find yourself looking at some community issues and to say, hey, I'm going to go take care of that. One of our campus ministers' mother passed away last week. We drove by her home in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. And it was unreal because the lawn had been mowed. And it was trimmed. It was nice. And I knew that his mom had been living with his sister about 80 miles away for about 2 months. And so I asked Lynn Lloyd, our campus minister, that's a mission consultant for Arkansas Baptist State Convention, boy, the lawn looked nice at your mom's house. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, David, two people have made it their mission to mow that lawn for 2 months. And he said, I can't tell you who it is, but I'm so thankful.
He got home and I said, Lynn, I bet your grass is mowed up. I bet you got a lot to do once you get back home. And he said, David, you're not going to believe it. When I got home, somebody had mowed my lawn. Huh. Isn't that interesting? We're not talking about rocket science. We're not talking about the kind of things that would make you noticed by the world. We're talking about the kind of things that are servant issues. And it's what Jesus did. Our Lord Jesus came from the heavenlies, and he walked in the midst of this world, and he got his feet dirty, right? In fact, in the upper room, everybody got their feet washed, but the best I can tell, our Lord Jesus walked away from the upper room, having washed everybody's feet, and his feet were still dirty. Isn't that interesting? What can I do for Jesus? Though there's not much, to tell you the truth, but you can wash his feet. And you do that by serving your neighbors, by serving your friends. As you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. One more thought. It's the last part of verse 10, and it really doesn't seem to fit because it's not talking about in him. But here's what it says, and it's a powerful passage. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. He is the head over all rule and authority. Now, the rule of God is the kingdom of God. And the king of the kingdom of God is Jesus. And we don't ever need to forget that. If we're to walk in him, we need to always understand that there is a king in the room, and it's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus. Well, church, you can't walk with him if you've not received him. Sherry, I loved it when you pulled out the football and one of the young children took the football. By the way, it was orange. It was a strange color. It was interesting because until a child takes the football, he's not received it, right? If you're playing in the game of football, until you receive it and hold on to it, it doesn't count, right? We're not just talking about a football game, but boy, what a great illustration we had in our children's sermon. But we're talking about the game of life, and it's not really a game. It is the difference in heaven and hell. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you cannot walk with him. Do you know him? Is there somebody in this room today that would say, I need Jesus? Then I'll be here at the front and I want to receive you. But I won't receive you into the kingdom. I'll just receive you at the front and I'll tell you about Jesus, and you will be able to give your life to Jesus. Would you be willing to do that today? I wonder if there's some of you in this room that you would say, well, I know Jesus, and I've received him. But you know, I'm not necessarily walking with him. Then, my friend, your decision today needs to be a decision that says, God, forgive me, for I've sinned against you in saying you're my Savior and yet not walking with my Savior. Do you know him? Are you walking with him today? Would you bow your heads with me? And with your heads bowed, I wonder if maybe there's someone who would say, I don't know Jesus. I do not know Jesus. Would you give your life to Jesus today? Maybe there's someone that would say, you know, I've known him, I've walked with him, and I've kind of sat down for a while. And maybe you need to get back up and walk with him today. It's with him. It's in him. As you therefore receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Would you do that today? Would you be willing to say, I want to walk with him? I'll be here as we sing today. And as you stand, Let God speak to your heart. Would you stand?
Have you been to the cross where the Lord Jesus suffered? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the place of redemption for sinners? Have you been to Calvary? It was there on Calvary God's dear Son laid down His life for you. While there's time, don't delay. Place your faith in Christ Jesus. Turn your